All right, young people, you're dismissed if you'd like to go to your class. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 5 today, John chapter 5. I'm going to speak today about the God of the Bible. And when you think about this, God, when you think about God, there's such awe and such wonder. He created all things. Without him was not anything made that was made. God, the creator of the universe, the creator of man, all that the Bible tells us about. We have a book that tells us all about God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we know what we know about God by what he has given us in the scriptures. He's given us a book. His Holy Spirit guides us in that book, into that truth, and we see wonderful things, mysteries, just blessings over and over. But John chapter 5, let's read verse 39. This is the Lord speaking, and he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search the scriptures, look into the scriptures, look into the Bible. That's how we learn about God. In Acts chapter 17, remember the Berean Christians, and it says they search the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. So everything points back to the Bible, because that's where we get our information about God. The next verse says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." How do we come to God? Well, we come to the truth. We come to the Word. We're told how to seek God, how to find God, who God is. Everything about God, it's in the scriptures. And so that's how we seek him. We look into the scriptures and things just jump off the page because it's a living book. But that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the privilege, for the gift, not only of our Savior and eternal life, but the scriptures that talk about him. And I pray that you'd open our eyes, open our understanding, open our hearts to the Word of God today. It's such a privilege to have it. It's so precious. And I pray, God, that we would grow. We would become more like you. Thank you for the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. The God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. There's a lot of gods in this world. I looked up on the internet some percentages of people that did this or that, and if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? It's got to be true if it's on the internet. And these might not be exactly true, and you can do your own search if you'd like, but I wrote down one fact, and it's 95% of Americans that believe in God, whichever one they believe in, obviously the true God, but 95% of Americans that believe in God, only 30% of those believe the Bible. Now, how could you believe in God without believing the Bible? That's a mystery, but it's what they have in the internet. And then it said, fewer than half of the 30% can name 5 of the Ten Commandments. Half of the ones, you see what I'm saying here. A survey from 2021 found that 11% of Americans read the Bible, who believe in God, read the Bible daily. Only 11% read the Bible daily. Here's another one. The fact is that over 82% of Christian Americans only read their Bibles on Sundays while in church. That's the only time they open their Bible. And a very high percentage, I didn't write that down, but have never, ever read through the entire Bible. And that's where we find out all about God, all about our Savior, all about our future, all about our past. So if we come to church and the church isn't teaching the Bible or preaching the Bible, and that's the only place some people get the Bible, you can see what happens in religion, quote unquote. So it's good to preach the Bible. It's good to read the Bible. It's good to search the scriptures daily, it says. Daily. Give us this day our daily bread, right? And that's not just food, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we have that desire for the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. You cannot feed a baby once a week in Sunday school. Amen? You have to feed that baby. Is it once a day you feed the baby? No, it's not once a day. Maybe twice a day. Maybe a lot a day, the day you're feeding the baby. Well, the God of the Bible. It's not the God of Hollywood or the God of movies or the God of, you know, just somebody's whim. It's not the God of isms. An ism is a system, an ideology, a philosophy. And we're told in the book of Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Because you can be spoiled from the truth. The truth can be corrupted by philosophy. So there are these isms. Pantheism, I'm not going to go through all of them, but pantheism is defined by Merriam-Webster Dictionary. The meaning of pantheism is a doctrine that equates God with the forces and laws of the universe. That's pantheism. Just worship everything. Worship nature, worship the stars. That's pantheism. You have atheism, same dictionary. The literal definition of an atheist is a person who does not believe in the existence of a god or any gods. That's an atheist. So the pantheist worships everything. The atheist worships nothing. Okay? And then you have humanism. These are all isms. Humanism is a doctrine, an attitude or way of life centered on human interests or values. And so man becomes his own god. That's as old as the book, you know. Remember, the devil said to Adam and Eve, God knows that in the day you eat thereof, you shall be as God. They already were as God. They were made in God's image, right? Let us make man in our image. And so, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the body, soul, and the spirit, they were made in the image of God. And so somehow the devil deceived them, and you know the rest of that story, if you've ever listened to Paul Harvey, right? From worshiping everything as God to worshiping nothing as God to worshiping self as God. And they're all wrong. All of those are wrong because the God of the Bible is the one to be worshiped. Amen? The God of the Bible is the true God. What about the God of the Bible? That's the only God that counts, the only God that is real. Creation demands a creator, okay? You can't have creation without somebody creating it. And so, man, the philosophers and all of the isms that are established because somebody's trying to figure out where all this came from. So you have the Big Bang and you have all these theistic evolution things and all of these isms. Well, it's real easy. You just go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created, right? And so we believe that by faith. We talked about that a little bit last week. There is design because there is a designer. It's not just a creation, but look how your body works. The weather, I mean, all of these things. There was a little tract put out years ago called Science in the Bible. And the Bible says that it's a sphere, it's round. But man and science used to believe that it was flat and you'd fall off the edge of the earth. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, but they used to do what they called bloodletting. Because they killed people doing that, trying to fix them, you know. They used to say, well, the Bible says that the stars are innumerable. You can't count as many as there are. But they used to believe there were only 1,100 stars. And you can go on and on and on about the winds and just different things. But the Bible is always true, amen? But if man can't trust the Bible or believe in the Bible, then he has to invent something else to believe in. Life, we have life, but there is a life giver. And God breathed into man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what we believe as Christians. But there are all sorts of different things. Evolution, the one cell came out of the ocean, right? And it started moving on the land. And it developed warts. Two warts for arms and two warts for legs. And the closer it got to the tree, it developed you know, a tail, and pretty soon it climbed up the tree. You got to really, you know what I mean? I believe God made everything. So that's what we believe. Christianity, there's another one. It's called paganism. It's a religion that has many gods and goddesses. It considers the earth holy and does not have a central authority. And to date, again, these figures can be wrong, but there are anywhere from 8,000 to 12,000 gods in the world. You know, different religions, different people believe different things. And so all of these gods that people's lives are devoted to. But the only God that counts is the true God. Back in Egypt, where Moses was sent to the Pharaoh to free the children of Israel from the Egyptian bondage. And in chapter 5, Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he says, God says, let his people go. And Pharaoh said this, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? This is Exodus chapter 5. I know not the Lord, neither will I obey his voice. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? He didn't know God, and so he had in Egypt all of these gods and goddesses, 10 of them. Do you know how many plagues there were? There were 10 plagues. Because God proved that he was the God that was true, and all these other gods were false gods. I didn't put all their names down, except the sun god, that's Ra, R-A. The other ones I had a hard time pronouncing, so I just didn't put them down. But here's the first plague. The Egyptians worshipped the Nile River. There was a god in the Nile River. And so God turned the water in the Nile River to blood. The second plague was a plague of frogs. Remember that one? Frogs everywhere. And there was a goddess of fertility in Egypt who had the head of a frog. And so here's another god or goddess, and God just did the things with all of these frogs. And the whole land stank, however you can say it. But I mean, it was just a terrible thing. The third god we look at in Egypt was the god of creation. It had the head of a fly. There was a plague of flies. The fourth one was the god of creation. I'm sorry. The third one was the god of the earth, the dust. And God made the dust lice. The fourth one, the frog. The fifth one is a goddess of love and protection. It had the head of a cow. And remember, all the cattle died. It's the fifth plague. The sixth plague, the goddess of medicine and peace. They all had sores and boils in that plague. The goddess of sky, the seventh plague. Hail rained down from heaven in the form of fire. So God is taking all of their gods and showing how weak and useless they are, and that he is the true God. You have the eighth plague. Egypt had the god of storms and disorder, so locusts were sent from the sky. Nine, Ra, the sun god. There's 3 days of darkness. You remember that if you've read through Exodus. And the last one, the tenth god in Egypt, was Pharaoh. He was the greatest Egyptian god, and God brought about the death of the firstborn. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I obey his voice. So he trusted in his own gods, and it destroyed his kingdom. It destroyed his people. And you can read all of that in the book of Exodus. In Acts chapter 17, you don't have to turn there, but I will read some verses here. This is where Paul goes to Athens. And Paul is a missionary. He's going to a new city, and he's going to speak to them. I'm going to start in verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. That's the setting. That's the circumstance that he's going in. He's going to a city. Man, I'm going to preach the gospel. But the whole city was given to idolatry. They had a street, they say, in history, that was lined with different gods, all these different gods. And so the Bible goes on and says, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. There were certain philosophers, of the Epicureans and of the Stoics, they encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." They didn't know Jesus. They had all of these other gods. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. It's just, right? Boy, you can get in real trouble like that. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" They had one of the gods on that street that didn't have a title or anything. It was unknown. That was in case they missed any gods. They didn't want to offend any of the gods, so they made a devotion to the unknown God. It's interesting the language that the Bible uses, their devotions. They were superstitious, and so they created these things, but they did worship those things. "I beheld your devotions." They worshiped God, their own gods. Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar made an image. Remember, the three Hebrew children would not bow down and worship it. The 70-year captivity for Israel was caused by their idolatry. This is something that it's easy to get involved in society, in our world. There are people that, what's the verse for the Christian? Covetousness, which is idolatry. Why would God put that together? Because we are devoted to covetousness. Some people are. And so that takes them away from God. Remember, I think it's 1 Kings 11. Solomon married all those women. I mean, 1,000 concubines, 300 wives, you know. But it says God warned him that they will take your heart away from the true God. And it wasn't a few verses later, that's exactly what happened. There's all kinds of things we need to be in tune with. Nature is not God. I want to read something there in Psalm 19, and you don't have to turn there. In Romans, it talks about the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." At verse 2, "Day unto day they utter a speech. Night unto night they show knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." They declare, they utter a speech, their voice and their words. What's that talking about? That's talking about God's creation says there's a creator. And if you want to know the creator, the Bible tells you who the creator is. But we look at nature and we say, that just didn't happen. Somebody created that. Man is not God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man is not his own God. Man-made idols are not God. In Isaiah chapter 44, and we won't take the time to read, but there's a lot of verses there, and God is showing the nation, he's showing them, why is it that somebody can go and they can cut down a tree, and with some of the wood, they make a fire to warm their hands, and with some of the wood from the tree that they just cut down, they make a fire and cook their meals. But from some of the tree that they cut down, they carve out a god and then worship the god of their own making. Well, that is practically, that is, you can see somebody doing that. But people do it mentally. They do it mentally. They create their own god because that's what they feel they want to worship. And God says, no, I am the only true God. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then get 2 Thessalonians, which is just a few pages to the right. Get 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and then we'll look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul is saying, man, your faith is not strong. You're really not grounded in the faith. And somebody could come and bring a false doctrine, and you might well go along with that. He goes on and explains in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The devil himself is transformed into being an angel of light. Thank God we have a Bible, because you can search the scriptures to see what is truth. Look at 2 Thessalonians. This is talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Here's the devil, and here's the Antichrist. And let's pick this up in verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. He sets himself up as God. He becomes this angel of light. Look with me at verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, thy word is truth, that they might be saved. So we get saved because we understand what God says about salvation in the word. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That is the work of the devil. He brings another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. He says God is a liar, but he is a liar. And so mankind worships this and worships that and worships that idol. But God is the true God, and we find out about that by the scriptures. That's the only way. 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now listen to what it says. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It's already here. That's why there's so many different ideas about creation, about eternity, about man, his purpose in living. In 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Exodus 23, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. These are the Thessalonian believers. And Paul is commending them because they heard the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. They believe. And so it says here that they turned to God from idols. They were idolaters, or worshiping the wrong God, so to speak. And so God commends them there in that verse, and it says to serve the living and true God. One God, no other gods, true God. It's not a plurality of gods. Amen. It's one true God. The God of the Bible is found in the Bible. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus is resurrected. And there are two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes up and starts walking with them. And they're sad. And so the Lord says, why are you so sad? And they said, are you a stranger in these parts? Don't you know that Jesus Christ was crucified? And he died and he was buried. And Jesus opened the scriptures to them. That's what it says. And he went back to the Old Testament, and he was saying that he needed to come and die for the sins of mankind. And then he went his way. And God did something in their hearts. Did not our hearts burn within us while we walked with him in the way? And then they knew it was Jesus. He had opened their hearts, but he used the scripture to do that. He took them back to the Old Testament and proved the prophecy that was to come. It's interesting. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There's a lot of false gods that promise so much. But as we see over and over in the scripture, remember 1 Kings chapter 18, there's Elijah the prophet, and he's fighting against the prophets of Baal. And the prophets of Baal are praying for the sun to come and take the sacrifice. And nothing would happen, but Elijah said, this is how you do it. And remember, his God was victorious. False gods. How do you recognize a counterfeit? They tell you when they're teaching you to recognize counterfeit money, they teach you what the real thing looks like. That's all they have to do. Because you can't teach all the counterfeits. If there are all these gods in the world, and there are all these isms, and all these promises of man about this or that and the other, but there's one true gospel. So you learn what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, the plan of salvation is so simple. It's one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it focuses in. It narrows in. Well, you're so narrow-minded. Yes, because God is. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one truth. There's only one Bible. Amen? And so God gives this to us. It's his word. What a privilege that is. The awe and the wonder that God gave us a book, that we can read this book and it's alive. It's a living word of God, and his spirit bears witness with our spirit. And once you get saved, Christ in you, the hope of glory, we're born again of the spirit of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the spirit guides us into all truth. So when you're reading the Bible, it's not a dead letter. It's a living word. And it's something that God has given us so that we can know the truth, and the truth would set us free. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9, Paul goes there, and he's preaching to the writing this letter back to the church, because there were people that came in after him and were teaching false doctrine. And so Paul says this in verse 8, though we are an angel from heaven, remember we read that about Satan, 2 Corinthians 11, it says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In case they didn't get that, he repeats it in verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Paul is saying there's one gospel. In 1 Corinthians 16:22, Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Anathema, accursed. Maranatha, the Lord cometh. So there it is again. It has to be the one true gospel. In John chapter 10, verse 10, I know I'm using a lot of verses today because I really want to lay this foundation. John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. 1 John chapter 5, and this is eternal life. This is Jesus Christ, and he is our eternal life. You have abundant life, you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, this is the promise that he has promised us. Even eternal life. It says God cannot lie. Anybody ever promise you something that they didn't fulfill? Probably not. I mean, anybody that's ever made a promise to you has kept that promise. You ever go buy a trailer and the guy that sold the trailer to you? I'm kidding, Dave. But I mean, there's the used car salesman, you know, there's a little old lady that drove this, you know. I worked one time for a used car salesman, long time ago before I was saved. A little old lady couldn't have driven all those cars, you know. I mean, sometimes people promise you something and it just doesn't work. Well, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What's he saying? You have my word. You have my word. And what is he meaning? You have my Bible. You have my scripture. You have my story. You have my truth. Everything about me you have, and I promise it to you, and the scripture cannot be broken. That is a blessing. Somebody wrote this: the God of the Bible is not merely one of a plethora of gods from which we may pick and choose to worship, nor is he to be put on par with other supposed deities. He is the omnipotent creator and redeemer of mankind. So, they turn to God from idols to worship the living and to serve the living and true God. Were we idolaters? We're not idolaters now. We are worshipers of Almighty God. We know who he is. How ye turn to God from idols. That is repentance. Repentance is you're going in one direction, you believe one thing, you turn around and you go in another direction. How do people get saved? They're going in this direction. Well, my good works. Well, I'm better than the next guy. Well, you know, I was always a Christian. My parents took me to church when I was a baby. And you know, I was this and that. And all of these things. Well, I'm really not a Christian, but I think God, it's like a big wheel. It's got the hub in the middle and all these spokes. And all these spokes are the different religions, but they all point back to a creator and God. Now, that's not how it works. Amen? There is only one true God. And repentance is saying, these gods are false, this God is true, and I'm going to turn to God from all my idols and serve him. That's definitely a blessing. 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah was against the prophets of Baal, he said, how long ye to the people of God, halt ye, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. Pretty good. Pretty good advice. Amen. If you really believe God is who he says he is, the God of the Bible, and we find out everything about him, we can learn about him. If he is the true God, if Baal be God, serve Baal. But if the Lord be God, serve him. Amen? But see, maybe some people can't say amen to that. I'm not saying physically right now, but in your heart. Because it says in that same verse, and the people answered him not a word. So then God proved who he was. And later on in the chapter, and they all said, he is the God. He is the God. That's the language of the Bible. Because they saw that he was stronger than the false God. And somewhere we come to that in our lives. The fool has said in his heart, Psalm 14:1, there is no God. There is no God, but there is a God. Amen. We can live like there is a God. We can serve like there is a God. Think of how wonderful that is. Amen. To know God and to know his word, where you can read this book and you can learn all about God. What a treasure. Amen. Read your Bible, pray every day. What's the song? Do you know the song, Richard? Read your Bible, pray every day. Would you like to hear the rest of it? So would I. Amen. I don't remember it. But you find out all about God in his book. This is a wonderful, wonderful treasure. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless your word today. Bless your word. May it fill our hearts with joy and awe and wonder that you gave us a book. We want to know you, Lord. We want our faith to be reality. We want to love you with all of our heart and all of our soul. Grant that. Fill us with your word that brings about that love. And Father, we'll thank you so much for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.